in missions. And I live and breathe and sleep missions, and I'm glad that one day the Lord called me to go to the mission field. And ever since then, I've been involved in missions. I see one of my little adopted boys back there nodding his head. I think he's about ready to go to the mission field. Caleb, we got a place for you anytime you, when you get ready. But them Lindsay boys did some good singing, didn't they? Everybody's done some good singing this evening. And Brother Gary, he just set a hard, hard pace for the rest of the preachers to follow today. Yeah. Get some of these here super retired preachers up here. Brother AC or Brother Bill. Some of them has done got their diplomas as far as pastoring is concerned and ready to go. Well, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." And, of course, you've heard me probably say before, and the simplicity of the last part of that verse, the Lord was just plainly making a statement that he wanted every ear to hear. And one of the things that we see today is a great, great falling away as far as young people surrendering to go to the mission field. Somewhere, the Bible teaches us that our faith is handed down from faith to faith. So as we start checking out the families, beloved said somewhere along the line, the families don't have any faith to hand down to their children. They don't teach them the things of the Lord. And we've got evidence of this in our land today whenever we start looking in the political arena. I mean, we're seeing the results of what's happened in our country concerning the public schools. We're seeing the results of what the public schools has produced, because about 80% of the teachers in the public schools are nothing but a bunch of liberals. And the colleges, about 98.9% of them are liberals. And everybody thinks their children ought to go to college. And when they send them to college, they turn out to be a bunch of liberals. And they've proven that. You people in Kentucky has been branded as being people that have no education. The reason you didn't vote for the right one. But beloved, I'm glad this evening that I can stand up on my hind legs and say that where most of our children ought to be sent is to some technical schools to learn how to work. And when we get some people back working in this country again and quit thinking so highly of themselves, we might be able to teach them something about God. And they'll start being able to understand there's more than trying to make a big name in life. And we get back down to the reality of serving the living God. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad that way back yonder, God put a purpose in my heart for living for him, knowing that my purpose is to try to get other folks saved. And old Brother Ed Ballou said, I served with him 4 years. And I think he gave me one of the best compliments that's ever been paid me during my ministry. He said, "You won't be around old Brother Jenkins long till he'll ask you, are you saved? That's my business. You just ask yourself, think for a minute. How long has it been since someone walked up to you and asked you, have you been born again? Are you saved?" We're really doing our jobs today. We're really doing our jobs. No wonder the world's going to hell, and especially America, is because we're really not concerned about souls anymore. Beloved said, I'm glad that I don't have to take a back seat whenever I got a testimony to tell people what Jesus done for me, and that he's called me to tell other people how to be birthed into the family of God. I'm not ashamed to pass out tracts and ask folks where they're going. And so beloved said, listen, young people, if you hear this evening, and somehow or another God's been fingering around your heart about going to the mission field, this would be a good time for you just to come down to an old-fashioned altar and get right with God and give him your life to be used of him. We need some people to surrender to go to the mission field. And bless God said there's people taking mission money and using it for everything else today except missions. Thank you. You pastors, hold your head up. You know I'm talking to some of you. And bless God said everything that's going on in the church today, it's not mission work. Mission work is sending people to tell people about Jesus. I know some pastors that takes their faith promise and runs buses with it. That's their business. Every church is autonomous. They can operate they want to. But when we get back to the scriptural principles of the scriptures concerning missions, I believe we'll see more people interested in surrendering to go into the mission field. Well, said, how can people hear without a preacher? And the Bible asks that question. And how can they be cynic? How can they hear except they be sent? Beloved, we don't have many folks interested in sending missionaries to the field anymore. I've been in this a good long while, and I'll guarantee you I know what I'm talking about. It don't take much for a preacher to drop you today. I was preaching in Annapolis this week, and now 8 days. I started last Sunday morning and ended last night. Had three times each Sunday and one time each night, even Saturday night. And there was an old ex-missionary applicant sitting there. He was on deputation for 8 years, but he couldn't sing and yodel and tap dance and pick a banjo. And bless God, said it was hard for him to get a support. But I'll tell you one thing, he was an old plowboy, and he'd have got the job done. I learned a long time ago when I was in business over at Dallas, Georgia. Bless God, said whenever people come by and wanted a job, and I had some people come in there, you know, and they start telling me what kind of technical schools and what kind of learning they had. I just had them, let me see your toolbox. I go out and examine their toolbox, and I could tell they just got out of school and had a bunch of new tools. They never had been used. But you bring an old plowboy by there, and he had a bunch of old plow branches and some tools that had been used. I didn't have no trouble putting him to work. Bless God, said we need to get down off our high horses today and get back to the basic facts of what the church was commissioned to do, and that was to send missionaries all around the world. The first and foremost obligation of the church is to be involved and get the gospel to the four corners of the earth. We need to come back to just to the basics. I mean, the very heartthrob of God is missions. Somebody said the first missionary that ever was Jesus when he left the portals of glory and came to earth. But we have a prime example of what missions is in the New Testament. Whenever there was a man by the name of Saul on the road to Damascus. But you know what happened to him? He met a man named Jesus, and it changed him from being a persecutor of the church. And that might change a lot of persecution in the church today if they meet Jesus like he did. But beloved, I'll guarantee you one thing. Whenever he went on down to Tarsus, but then he came back to Jerusalem. Whenever he got back to Jerusalem, whenever he came in to be with the disciples, they were afraid of him. Of course, I mean, if anybody had a track record like Saul, anybody's supposed to have been afraid of him. But there was a man there by the name of Barnabas. He was able to vouch for him and what had took place in his life. But then, my friend, I said that to say this, whenever the church in Jerusalem started sending out missionaries by two to go and preach to none but the Jews only, you know what happened? Well, said they got word back that there was something going on up at Antioch that the church didn't sanction. I mean, boy, there was people getting saved up there besides the Jews. So they picked a man to go up there and see about it. That man was Barnabas. If there's ever been a time that we need some Barnabases in our churches, it's today. That would be able to stand up and help the people of God that's trying to do something for God. But when he got up there, boy said he would have just acted like some of our modern day missionaries, being able to send back good letters and telling about how what a great work was going on and how many people was being saved and what he was doing and how he was being used of God. But the Bible said that he was a man of God. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And when he got up there, he saw what the Holy Ghost of God was doing. And you know what happened to him? He knew that that thing was too big for him. So he went down to Tarsus to get Saul. And when he got back, what happened? The Bible says that they labored together for about a year. Then something strange happened in the church that never had happened before. God works through the local church. He don't work and sanction these umbrella groups like some of the people think that all the tithes and monies ought to be given to them. But God works through the local church, and the monies belong to the local church, and it's a local church's responsibility to distribute the money to the Lord's work. Thank you, you're welcome. Whenever he got down there and labored for about a year, the Holy Ghost said, seek ye out from among you whom I have called, Saul and Barnabas, unto the work which I've called them. You know what happened then? They called in a mission board or mission agency to lay hands on them, tell them what they could do and what they couldn't do, and send them out 1,000 times no. Beloved said they laid hands on them and commissioned them and sent them forth to preach the gospel. Say, Brother Jenkins, I thought you was with a mission agency. I am. I'm glad you asked. But beloved, we leave all the authority with the local church. I ain't talking about we work with a pastor in the local church. It's the local church that God commissioned to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Beloved said, listen, when God does something that amounts to anything, it'll be through the local church. Thank you, you're welcome again. Beloved said, I am a church man, and when we work with that pastor, whenever someone comes to our mission agency, and that's the reason we call it an agency. It's not a board. We don't lord authority over the local church. Beloved said, it's that local church that has the authority over that missionary. But we work with him, and we've been in it long enough, we can help him get his papers to get into the country, what God had called him, help him to get his support, and send him on his way. And when he gets there, when he has difficulties, we'll be right beside him or helping him any way we can to keep him in the place that God's called him. And that's what our agency was ordained of God to do. And God's been a blessing in it, and we've got our building built, and we're ready now to start adding more missionaries to the staff there that we might be able to have a greater part. Well, I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you got tracts in your pocket? How many of you have testified today of your own personal salvation to some lost person along the way? We were just in a hospital up in Indianapolis. Walked in there. A man had been diagnosed with cancer. I had 2 melanoma cancers cut out of my back, and one of them they didn't get. They had to go back in there and cut it out, and I got a gash about that long. And I want to tell you, said my hair stood up when I found out what was going on with him. He'd had a mole on his back, and it became melanoma. They cut it out, but it went on in, got into his lungs, and he didn't know it was in there. And the first thing you know, when he found out that he had cancer and it was terminal, it was in his brain. And his little old mama standing there, she wasn't about this high. After he had trusted Christ as his Savior and cried, wept like a baby, then shouted. And we thought they was going to throw us out of that hospital. After he got in, he got happy, and he started telling everybody, my sins are gone. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, I want you to know, friends, said, listen, that's what's wrong with people today. Nobody ever gets them to the place that they realize they're a sinner. And beloved said, listen, we're nothing but a sorry, low-down, no good, hell-deserving sinner until we come to Christ. And whenever we get people to realize what a sorry, low-down, no good, hell-deserving sinner they are, then we can take the work, the precious book, the Word of God, and show them how they can have forgiveness of their sins and be birthed into the family of God. But you see, that's the commission of the church. 5 times in the New Testament, the church is commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible tells us how we're to do it. And that's by faith. Paul said, I've had pastors tell me, Brother Jenkins, you don't understand. We're spending everything we get our hands on to do what we can. Praise God, said, you are prime. You are a prime subject to be used of God if you're doing that. You're up to zero if you're doing everything that you can. Up to zero. And that's about what it amounts to. Some of you think, boy, I'm doing great. Well, if you're up to zero, then you can be used of God. The Bible tells us that the people there in Corinth, in Acts chapter 8, that those people there in their deep poverty, what did they do? The Bible says they did what they could within their own power. And then they did what they could beyond their power. And the only way the church is ever going to be able to fulfill a part of the Great Commission is they're going to have to get to the place to where they can depend on God over and above what they can do, and let God come on the scene and put in their hand that they might be able to do beyond their power to get this up there. If I give all that I can, and that's all I do, I have limited God in my life by not letting Him touch me and trust me with more than He'll give through me that He won't give to me, and I'm make a vow to Him that I'll bring it to Him, that it might be given to missionaries to get the job done around the world. I asked the fella the other day, he wanted to be a missionary. I just asked him, I said, how many missionaries do you support? I don't. It's been some time, but I said, are you involved in Faith Promise Giving? He said, no.
A lot of churches today still don't operate like that. That's the church's prerogative, to operate the way the Lord leads the pastor to operate. But beloved said, listen, I wouldn't give a nickel to no missionary that didn't give to help other missionaries. Thank you. They want to come in and get $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 a month support and go off to Timbuktu and be fully loaded with the funds from America, and they don't even have 1 ounce of faith in their own life. I'll guarantee you, when we went to the mission field, we went with faith. Now, I didn't even know what faith really was. Back in the 60s, said, I promised God I'd go with $400 a month. And God's pretty well kept it in that area. It's been more under $1,000 a month than it has been over it through the years. But I'll tell you one thing. God has taught me to live by faith. And God uses people. But God gave me a verse of scripture where the Lord said, I know my sheep. They know my voice. And they follow me. My wife will tell you there's been times when we didn't have two dimes to rub together. I never did call Brother Duncan and ask you for a dime. 41 years I haven't never called and asked anyone for a dime. But I'll tell you one thing, and I've learned to pray silently where the devil can't hear me. But I don't even tell my wife what I ask God for until after the fact. But whenever you get into your closet and pray until you know that you've reached the heart of God and He's giving you peace in your soul, that He's going to take care of it. I'll guarantee you one thing. You can get up from there and just take it to the bank. Wait on God to send it in. And He will. I recall when I was on the field the first time, we had a terrible need there. My support that month was $279 is all I got that month. And our truck driver had an old Bedford truck with a wooden bed built on it. Brother Williams, and he worked for the government driving a dump truck. And he had a generator light instead of an oil pressure light. The old Bradford truck we had an oil pressure light. It came on. He thought it was a generator light. He drove the truck till he burnt the motor up, locked it down. It taken everything that I had except $1, just getting rods, main bearings, gaskets, rings, and rebuilding that motor and getting it ready to go. But the people depended on us to come and get them and bring them to the house of God. Now, I didn't have no groceries. I hadn't paid nothing. No house rent for the month. And I'll guarantee you one thing. Whenever you get in a situation like that, you can know what it means to kneel down and ask God for some help. If I'd have called you, Brother Gooseby, and asked you to send me something, it had took me 8 days to get it. But I asked God for it on Monday. Went to the post office on Wednesday. Said she was already in the mail. God knew before ever I asked. But He's taught me that I have to ask. But I've never asked. Never asked. Broke my knees like that in all these years that He hadn't supplied. I recall, said, I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. Swallow your false teeth if you want to. That's in 1948. They was the evangelistic type church in those days. I was called to preach in the Southern Baptist church and surrendered to go to the mission field in the Southern Baptist church and had no more sense than to apply the home board to go. But when they looked at my credentials, they sent me back a letter and said that I like a year and 2 months having enough education. I said, well, maybe God didn't know what He was doing when He called me then. I just went around to them Southern Baptist churches over there around Dallas, Georgia, and started telling them what God called me to do. Did you believe that most of them? Brother Sammy Allen was the first church that ever took me on, Concord Baptist Church in Fairmount, Georgia. And could I tell you, ever since the first check came in, never since he started has 1 month missed. Isn't that a testimony for a church that supports missionaries? Not 1 month has he missed since they started supporting. And I'm not the only one that church supports. They support hundreds. And they give away thousands. And I honestly know that the only place that the money can come from that goes through that church, it's got to come from God. But beloved, whenever I prayed and asked God, I'd never been to North Carolina in my life. But that check that came in came from North Carolina. I'd never preached in North Carolina. Didn't know nobody up there in the church at that time. So I'm here to tell you this evening, if God's fingering around your heart about missions, and I'm talking about going to the mission field, but I've been in it long enough, I'm persuaded to believe that the mamas and daddies have ingrained in the people's, their children's heart, and told them what they wanted them to be, and what they'd like for them to accomplish in life. And they want a big house like daddy's and all the pretty furniture like mama's, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they get their eyes on the things of this world instead of on the things of the Lord. And the first thing that they ought to be encouraged to do what the Lord would have them to do. And if I'd rather for all of my kids to die on the mission field than to have all the things in this life, I'd rather be an old country boy raised on the farm as a sharecropper's son. I'd rather eat poke salad and peas and cornbread and big onion and buttermilk all the days of my life than to enjoy all the pleasures of some of these people that I see and maybe have a big hole in the backyard they call a pool. Lexus is sitting in their yards, not one or two or three or four, but sometimes five. But beloved said, listen, you said, Brother Jenkins, is that real? Sure, there's a right up in northern Illinois. I know where there's a five. It sits in one pastor's yard. Every kid's got a Lexus. What about that? But you see, listen to me. I'd rather have nothing and have God and know what God can do for you when you call upon Him than have all the things that this world has to offer. But listen to me, young people. The greatest thing that could ever happen in your life is for you to give yourself to the Lord too totally and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Well, that's what old Paul said, or Saul said, whenever he was on the road to Damascus, whenever the Lord got a hold of him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I dare say there's very few people in this congregation today that's ever bowed down before God and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But I'm reminded, when you look at the book, the Bible says when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. If there's ever been a time of America, we need to see the Lord from where He's at and see ourselves as we are. Bunch of finite, ignorant people that's left God and not walking with Him like we ought to, and be able to come back to the place and do like Isaiah said, woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And whenever he saw God in the position that he was in and he confessed, what did the Lord do? He let the angel of the Lord take the tones and get a coal, put it to his lips. Then he said, what you young people and some of you older folks today need to be saying, Lord, here am I, send me. What a wonderful statement to make. I'll soon be 72 years old. God knows my heart. My wife knows that I'm telling you the truth. If he told me to go to the back corners of Africa today, I've got no more sense just to load up and go where he tells me to go. But I'm glad that I'm able to go over this country, go in these colleges and to the before the mission classes, and encourage these missionaries or young people that surrender to be missionaries and let them understand what we have to offer and helping them be able to work through their local church to get the word of God out that they might be able to win people to the Lord. Amen. Have you passed out a tract today? Have you told somebody what Jesus done for you today? Beloved, I'll never forget the smile on that man's face yesterday whenever he got in. Boy, said that puts a tiger in your tank when you see somebody get in that's just that close to death. But could I tell you something? You may be closer than that tonight. You might be closer to death than that. Now I'm working on a message and said, boy, Brother Gary, he sort of fingered around it there a while ago whenever he was preaching. When he got through preaching, I said, bless God, there's not much left to go on. I mean, he preached from the book of Generations to the book of Revolutions. There was much left and there to say. I mean, he touched a little bit all along the way. But can we get our hearts and minds focused back on missions in our local church again? Can we? I'm talking about really down-the-earth Bible missions. I'm not talking about using our mission money to get involved in everything that's going on today. I mean, missionaries are sent ones. And when God calls a missionary, it's the church's responsibility then to send him. And I'm glad that we have it in the book how that God will work through his people and use them to be able to fulfill the great commission he's given the church to be responsible for. Thank you. You're welcome.